The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. As we kick off the 4 o'clock hour on this Friday, March 15th, 2024, Jack Keller joins us in about an hour. This hour, attorney Stu Jenkins is back on this broadcast, looking to help recruit a few good men and women. Their mission is to serve on a grand jury. Mr. Jenkins, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave.
I wish we had a camera. You're looking very stylish.
Well, thank you.
Craig, have you seen this?
Yeah, he's wearing a grand outfit.
Yeah.
You know, the pandemic is over. We don't have to come in our pajamas anymore.
That's very stylish.
Well, thank you.
But do you have a jacket to go with it?
I do, but it was so warm I didn't want to wear it.
So what's the jacket look like?
It looks like my suit pants.
Okay. Yeah. Very stylish. Yeah. We should take a photo on the break and put it on the Facebook page.
We should
page.
Get us all together. Yeah.
I've been looking for a new fabric for my couch, and that vest is perfect.
Now, here, Craig, with all due respect, you never get to make fun of anybody's wardrobe. Okay? You never, okay?
Hey, I'm wearing my very high-end Yankees jersey right now.
That's right, with a number 8 on it.
Yeah.
Stylish. I want the grand jury to investigate Craig Hill.
Investigate my fashion sense.
Down to business. You're here because you want to talk about the grand jury. Why are we having this topic?
Well, first of all, I think nationally there's a lot of attention now to grand juries. We've got a former president who's been indicted by 4 of them in 4 different locations. And I think a lot of people don't, because the grand jury does its job in secret, as it's supposed to do. A lot of people don't understand what grand juries do or why they're there. And and just to start off this segment, I want to let people know why I came. It's because the County of San Luis Obispo right now has open application period that ends on April 12th for people who want to serve on the grand jury. And then they get interviewed by the judges or one of the judges, and then they may be selected. And the term of service is for a year. So grand juries in California only last 1 year. And they do a very important function, which is they investigate primarily governmental entities, governmental officers. They make sure that the government is operating properly, but I don't think people understand the full scope of what grand juries can do.
I will get into all that. Let's just back up a second, though. How do people apply or find out more information?
Well, the best thing to do is to go to Dr. Google.
Dr. Google.
And Google San Luis Obispo County Grand Jury, and you'll actually find there's a website, and it has a lot of information about the grand juries. But if you dig into it and go all the way to forms and documents and then click on the forms link, you will go to a page that has an application, which you can download.
So it's all there.
It's all there.
What are the requirements to be a member of a grand jury?
Well, a grand juror has to be someone who is over the age of 18. They have to be a citizen of the county. They have to, actually in the statute, they have to be proficient in the use of the English language to be able to understand it, because that's what a lot of the evidence will come in as. And they have to be able to commit to the service. So there are a few exclusions, but most people will qualify. In our county, the judges are recommending that you be able to devote 20 hours a week. So obviously, most of the people who may want to apply may be retired. Although I had a cousin, a 14 times removed cousin, who was going to Cal Poly here.
14 times removed?
Yeah.
From Cal Poly or from you?
From me.
That's another story.
That's another story. So he ended up on the grand jury for a year and really got a lot out of it. And there are a few people, in order to have consistency, the judges can pick 3 to 5 people to go on to the next term for the grand jury. So some people can serve for up to 2 years, but that's unusual.
How many people are on a grand jury?
In a county like San Luis Obispo, there are 19 grand jurors and 11 alternates who are selected.
All right.
And so, for instance, if the grand jury was investigating a particular business and someone had a relationship to the owners of that business, they can recuse themselves and one of the alternates will come on.
All right. So let's take a few minutes and explain how this works. Say I get on the grand jury. What happens then? I mean, do cases just come my way? Do attorneys argue in front of me? How does a grand jury differ from a traditional jury?
Well, a traditional jury is called randomly, and there's 12 people, and they have to come to a unanimous decision. Whereas a grand jury, if they're looking at something, they're investigating something, they have the power to subpoena information. They have the power to invite people to come in. They even have the power under the statutes, if they determine that the county is owed money back because it's been embezzled or taken somehow, they have the power to order the district attorney to bring a civil action to recover that money.
And it's civil cases, right? Primarily?
No.
Okay.
There's a usually in the press, it's referred to as the civil grand jury.
Yeah.
There is no such thing.
Okay.
There is in the statute authority to investigate, report, look at the accounts of public officials and agencies, look at their operations, and they can report on where there are deficiencies, not necessarily malfeasance, but misfeasance. Negligence, bad operations, and there is a requirement that the public officials respond to that report. And that's what usually is reported on at the end of every grand jury's term.
They issue, a report.
Issue these reports, yeah. But they actually have the power to investigate. And if they, it's right in the very first statute, penal code section, all of these are in the penal code section of how grand juries are put together. Penal code section 888, the first paragraph is that they're sworn to inquire of public offenses committed or triable within the county.
Stu Jenkins on this broadcast explained to us the grand jury process and inviting people to join the Slo County grand jury. Deadline is April
12th. And you can't just email in your application. You have to take in the paper application after you fill it out. There's instructions. You can attach things about your resume, about your experiences, and, of course, you can say why you want to be on the grand jury.
Is it hard to get enough people for a grand jury?
I think the court struggles to get enough people for the grand jury, yes.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the grand jury was originally conceived and put into the Bill of Rights for this country to democratize the judicial system and the prosecution system.
Let me take a break and we'll come back and we'll get the full history of the grand jury process from our guest attorney, Stu Jenkins. I'm Dave Congleton. The jury is still out, but I still have the job. There you go. There's the Hometown Radio. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Stu Jenkins on this broadcast. Have you ever been on a grand jury?
I have not.
I've been on a jury, but not a grand jury.
I've been selected for a jury 3 times, and every time the other lawyers I could see didn't want a lawyer on their grand jury.
I get
their jury.
I get that.
You know.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the history of the grand jury. So this was in the Constitution?
It was not originally. It got into it through the Bill of Rights. And in fact, when James Madison first wrote up a requirement for trial juries, he wrote it very much in the vein of the Second Amendment about how juries were important to the guaranteeing of individual freedom. Mm-hmm. And And basically what the jury system was set up to do was the grand jury was to make sure you didn't have overzealous prosecutors who were just picking political enemies that they could prosecute. And so the grand jury was required to hear evidence and receive evidence, and they had the power to go out and investigate themselves, as a California grand jury does. And if they found there was probable cause that a crime had been committed, they could issue an indictment, or one of the other early words was a presentment. And the presentment is now very similar to what the California grand jury does when it issues a report, one of their civil reports. But the whole idea was that the grand jury would be the body of people selected from the community who would decide whether or not there was enough evidence for a trial to occur.
And they obviously have a lot of power.
They actually do.
Yeah.
I think they have more power than frequently they're advised that they have.
Though, as you are well aware, Stu, of continued criticism of our grand jury here in the county is that they don't have any teeth. They're advisory.
Well, there's an interesting factor to that. The statutes say that the grand jury can get advice. They can go get advice. They can get advice from the district attorney. They can get advice from the county council, or they can get advice from the state attorney general. And I think, of course, this sets up some potential conflicts of interest unless they're talking to the attorney general, who doesn't have a lot of time to come to San Luis Obispo County, because if one of their main jobs is to investigate and gather evidence on the operations of county agencies, well, it's the county council who represents the county agencies. So that's, you know, there's a question that I think every grand jury has to ask themselves, are we a Pekingese lapdog? If the only place we get our advice from is the county council's office.
Yes, but I come back to my point that once a grand jury issues a decision, they don't have any power to enforce it, do they, locally?
Yes, they do, actually.
Can you give me an example?
Well, as I said earlier, a grand jury actually has statutory power to order the district attorney to bring a civil action against any entity or person who has wrongfully taken funds.
Right. But any case come to mind?
Sure. As a matter of fact, 2018
Perfect.
Case comes to mind. There was a report on the Integrated Waste Management Authority. You all recall this. And in fact, by 2021, there was one employee that ended up being indicted by the district right. attorney. But the administrator of that agency was not, no action was brought to recover from him by the district attorney or by the county council, even though that looked like, in the reports that were issued, more funds potentially that should come back to the public agencies. And by that time, the statute of limitations had run. Is I believe what the district attorney talked about, and if you look at what the grand jury's power was, there were certainly complaints being made publicly. There were news stories out about it, and if the grand jury had investigated that and had found evidence, they had the power to subpoena. They had the power to go through the books independent of the district attorney or the county council.
But in this case, why didn't the district attorney just investigate on his own? Why did he need a grand jury?
I don't know. You know,
okay. That's the confusing part to me.
It may be that he was working on murders.
Yeah.
But what I'm suggesting is that the grand jury has independent power to gather evidence. And once it has gathered that evidence, it has the power to give that in a packet to somebody like the district attorney or the attorney general, because, you know, government corruption is a feature that the attorney general can prosecute as well.
Stu Jenkins on this broadcast. Let's remind Stu, let's remind people, Stu, please, of the call for action here. What's coming up in April?
April 12th is the deadline to apply to become a member of the San Luis Obispo County Grand Jury. The way you can apply is you go to, you can use Dr. Google and go look for the San Luis Obispo County Grand Jury. They have a web page. It has a lot of good information. But if you click down through several levels to forms and documents and then forms, there's the application. You can download it. You have to fill it out in hard copy, and it has to be at the jury office, which is in the ground floor of the county government center. Yeah, just up the steps across from the ground floor, oddly, is up the steps across from the Fremont Theater. And you can go in there. You can drop off your application. And then the presiding judge or one of the presiding judge's designees will interview you, and you can apply, and you may very well be selected to spend a year.
First question coming in on the Stolberg text line, are grand jurors paid? Is there a salary?
They are paid, but it's not enough. You're essentially volunteering. It's $15 for every meeting day.
So now, that would cover my parking.
Well, they may give you a voucher for parking. I'm not sure about that part. But the other thing is that there are committees. So the grand jury forms, again, there's 19 members of the grand jury plus 11 alternates who are all participating. And so there are committees to study different things. And the foreman of the grand jury who's elected by the grand jurors who sets the initiative as to what they're going to investigate.
So in the 2 minutes before the news break, make your case. Why should someone consider volunteering for the grand jury? Why should people think about this, Stu?
Because if you're interested in integrity in your county government and in all of, it's not just the county government, it's all the jails, even the prison is subject to investigation, as well as things like school boards or the Harbor District, any special district that levies a tax is subject to investigation and review, even nonprofit corporations. Now, in our county, we have governments who give a lot of money to nonprofit corporations to effectively do governmental services.
I was just sitting here thinking back, the cases that come to mind for me. One, I remember the local grand jury investigating General Hospital.
Yes.
And that whole situation. Mm-hmm. And then the unfortunate case of the gentleman who died in confinement in the sheriff's office.
Yes.
A lot of time was devoted to that.
There was certainly a lot of time devoted to that, and there was a lot of press coverage, and there was a lot of investigative press coverage devoted to that, but whether or not the grand jury realized it had the initiative to take significant additional actions to do something besides issuing a report, I don't know.
Isn't that the role of the judge in the case? I mean, the judge of the grand jury? The judge who's working with the grand jury is what I'm trying to ask.
Well, that's interesting that you should say that, because the judge who convenes the grand jury is also someone that the grand jury can obtain advice from. They don't have to limit themselves to the DA or the county council or the attorney general. And in fact, if they see that there is a potential conflict of interest, there's a statute that gives them the power to ask the judge to appoint a special prosecutor.
Well, all right. Attorney Stu Jenkins explained to us the grand jury process and encouraging people to apply for our local grand jury. News, traffic, weather, more of the conversation straight ahead. This is Hometown Radio. Jack Keller's just confirmed that he will be on his way shortly, and he will join us at 5:05 to talk about whatever Jack wants to talk about. Always an interesting guest, as is my current guest, Stu Jenkins, attorney at large, talking about the grand jury system, inviting people, encouraging people to apply for the grand jury. When would this new grand jury start meeting, by the way?
The new grand jury would start meeting July 1st.
If you have any questions or comments, pick up the phone, text us, call us 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. If you've ever served on a grand jury, I would love to hear your experiences. What are the safeguards built into the system?
Well, there are actually a lot of safeguards. First of all, in addition to being 18 years of age, being able to be conversant in English and be a citizen of the county, there's a requirement that a person be of ordinary intelligence, sound judgment, and here's the kicker, a fair character.
A fair character.
A fair character. So, in other words, you have to have the desire to be fair with people and to, not have, a political agenda on what you're going to be investigating. You're just going to look at the evidence, talk to the witnesses, get their testimony. And how is that part determined? It's determined by a Superior Court judge who interviews people to make sure. And then there's one other safeguard. There's actually a statute that requires in a county like ours that the membership of the grand jury be apportioned by supervisorial district according to the population of the supervisorial districts. And since they're all supposed to be pretty close to each other, you should have an equal representation on the grand jury from all five corners of the county.
I asked you earlier, what are the qualifications? But what are the traits of a good grand juror?
I think
what makes a good grand juror?
First of all, I think the traits of a good grand juror are to listen on several levels, not only to what people are saying, but what they mean. I think also to respond to complaints, and to if a complaint comes into the grand jury about something, that they are willing to consider the complaint. And my wife used to work at a bank, and she talked about how somebody was coming in and complaining about something. She wanted to listen to, well, what are their words, but what's behind the words? And so I think that's a part of it. And then a willingness to go places, to dig in. So, for instance, a grand jury will take tours of agencies. They have the right to go look at the books of an agency.
So they're like, in a way, an investigative body.
They are.
Yeah.
They're like a
To a jury that just sits there and listens to testimony.
That's right.
These folks go out and investigate.
That's right. They have the obligation to go out and investigate. They have the power of subpoena, independent of any other person, any other. They don't have to depend on the DA. They don't have to depend on the judge or on the county council to issue a subpoena. And the other thing is that one thing I think the judges look for. There is actually a power of a judge to appoint someone to it. Is, for instance, if they're investigating accounts, it may be a good idea to have someone or more than one person who is an accountant there. There are certain disqualifications. So, for instance, if you have served on a grand jury the previous year, you're not qualified to serve on a grand jury the following year unless a judge extends your term. And they have the power to do that only with a few people.
Let me take you back. When I was in college, there was I forget the wording of the topic, but we debated grand juries in competitive debate.
Interesting.
What I recall from those arguments, one of the arguments against a grand jury is that if I'm called before a grand jury, I'm not allowed to have an attorney with me. Is that still true?
That is still true.
Okay.
Yes.
Why am I, if I'm called before the grand jury, why can't I have a lawyer with me?
because these are citizens. They're not lawyers, although there's no disqualification from a lawyer being a member of the grand jury. They're citizens, and they're investigating, and they're asking you questions. You can have a lawyer outside the grand jury room that you can go consult if you wish to. But, of course, the grand jury is going to notice that.
Yeah.
The only time you shouldn't be answering a question is if you're going to incriminate yourself, and that's perfectly good defense to answering a question. I think you've seen in recent news reports about other grand juries where there will have some of the testimony comes out later sometimes if there's a prosecution, and there's transcripts of that that have to be given to the defense attorneys as well as the prosecutors. So you may have people who say, well, I don't remember.
And gee, where have we heard that before?
Of course, that's perjury if you do remember.
Yeah. Here's a good question coming in on the Stolberg line. A listener is asking, if a private citizen wishes something investigated, how do they bring it to the attention of the grand jury?
That's a very good question. And if they go to the same location, if they go to the grand jury website and they bump down through the links to forms and documents, right below the application to serve on the grand jury is a complaint form that they can download, and they can mail that in or they can hand that in.
Can it be confidential, or do they have to give a name? Give their name.
They should give their name, in my view.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because first of all, the grand jury proceedings are secret. And so the grand jury might call this person in to talk to them about the complaint and find out what they know.
Follow up on that. I'm sorry, finish the thought.
Well, but their testimony is secret unless and until there's a indictment brought, and then the only people who receive that information are the prosecutor and the defense attorneys.
Stu Jenkins on this broadcast. I just had this great question. It's went away. Isn't it great being a senior?
It was. I resemble that remark, my friend.
If a private citizen wants something investigated and they fill out the form. Oh, I was going to ask about the volume of complaints. What are the odds of actually having, if I complain about something, what are the odds of the grand jury actually investigating? Do they turn away most of the complaints they get?
That's a good question, and I frankly don't know the answer to that because I have not served on a grand jury in this county. I think that's going to be up to the good ordinary intelligence, sound judgment, and fair character of the grand jurors.
Well, which brings me to the original question I was trying to remember. You keep talking about secrecy. Is the grand jury process really secret, or is it, air quotes, secret?
It really is secret. As a matter of fact, if a grand jury 10 years down the road, or a grand juror 10 years down the road, starts talking to their friends and neighbors about what they heard in the testimony inside the grand jury, that's a misdemeanor. They're for their entire lifetime, the grand jurors have to keep secret what they heard in the way of testimony and what evidence was gathered, other than if there's a report issued, the report is going to say what evidence has come out, or if there's an indictment issued and a trial then occurs. There are a couple of exceptions. For instance, let's suppose Dave Congleton gets called in to the grand jury to find about, they want to know about sources of information he's had.
Which is a likely case across the country. We're seeing more and more of that.
It happens.
Yep.
And, of course, you have, as somebody in the media and news business, you have privileges not to disclose that necessarily. But let's suppose people see you going in.
Yeah.
And they decide, you know, somebody in one of the other media starts a rumor that maybe you're being charged with a crime. One of the few exceptions to the secrecy is that if you're not charged with a crime and you're not indicted, you can apply to the court to have an order that there be disclosure that you were not charged with the crime.
All right. We have Attorney Stu Jenkins with us explaining the grand jury process, encouraging people to apply to be a member of the local grand jury. They're suiting up July 1st. We'll come back for a final segment. We're live, we're local, we're hometown. All right, we're wrapping things up with Stu Jenkins. Let's remind folks of the call to action here, Stu.
Well, the call to action is if you're a citizen of San Luis Obispo County, you have good judgment, you're over the age of 18, and you want to be involved in guaranteeing the integrity of local government and agencies that serve the public, you should think about applying to the grand jury of San Luis Obispo County. You need to be able to commit 20 hours a week, but all you have to do between now and the 12th of April is go to the grand jury website, go down through the links to forms and documents and then forms, and there's an application there. You can print it out, you can fill it out, and you can apply. That is actually the same place if somebody feels they need to make a complaint to the grand jury because they've seen something that doesn't smell right, they can send that in. They can get that complaint form there, and they can use that to make a complaint, and the grand jury will then have a reason to investigate.
Here's your squirrely question. If I serve on the grand jury for a year, does that excuse me from regular jury duty?
Yes, I think it does. I can't.
Well, I have an excuse. I'm sorry. I'm on the grand jury.
Yeah.
I don't have to come sit on your jury.
That's right.
All right. So I'm not looking for controversy here. I so appreciate the conversation and the information here. But nor do I want to ignore the fact that grand juries are in the news nationally involving our former president. Does all this controversy help or hinder our image of grand juries?
I think with some people it hurts their image of grand juries because they may be convinced that the grand jury has been politicized, but the reality is that when you start to look at how juries act, and Georgia is very different than California. They apparently can talk all they want after they're off the grand jury, and we've seen that happen. And we've seen that, for instance, people were on the grand jury there who voted for former President Trump, and yet they found the evidence convincing that he should be indicted. Because once you're on the grand jury, you've taken an oath to the Constitution and to be fair and impartial and to look at the evidence. And so those folks looked at the evidence, and they came out the other way than they had been politically. I think that's true for almost everybody who gets on a grand jury. It sharpens the mind to realize that you are a citizen involved in making sure that justice occurs.
Some people are making a big deal out of the delays.
Yeah.
I know a family who has a young man in the family who is facing now probably an 8-year prison term. Details don't matter, but he's facing an 8-year prison term. And he's been facing this for the last 2 years.
Oh,
because every time he shows up, it's just delayed. It's just pushed back. So I'm not saying there's not any kind of conspiracy. I don't know. But I wouldn't read so much into, well, this has got to be political. No, it's our court system. There's some inherent delays that happen.
The truth is judges and courts try, in most cases, I believe, to ignore the election calendar, the political calendar, and they want to make sure that the process that they are going through to assure justice is fair to both sides.
Yeah. Has the court system bounced back from COVID? Is almost, it back to normal?
Almost. I mean, at the height of COVID, I was showing up on Zoom, and shall I say, half the lawyers were in their pajamas and their jogging wear. That has changed. Almost all of the courts now have requirements that you show up in person, unless there's an exception. And so there's a lot less of the of some judge trying to assess whether you're telling the truth when you're all they see is your head on a screen.
Have they caught up on the caseload, though, or are things still being pushed back because of all the delays from COVID?
It's better here. We actually, in San Luis Obispo County, we have a full bench of 15 Superior Court judges. We had a lot of judges who retired, who moved on to, say, the appellate court. And we had, at one point, I think, five vacancies. And so now we have a full bench, and it seems to be catching up.
Is there a difference between a civil grand jury and a special grand jury?
There is no such thing as a civil grand jury. Every county, by the Constitution of California.
But you hear the term.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And
so then what's a special grand jury?
A special grand jury is one that is called by the district attorney specifically to look at a particular criminal accusation. And so that grand jury is selected differently. You don't apply to that. They are constituted out of the jury rolls, from the driver's license rolls and the voter rolls, just like a regular trial grand jury. And they're also interviewed by a judge to make sure that they are of fair mind and are going to just listen to the evidence. But you actually get drafted for that kind of a special grand jury, and it can last for up to a year as well.
And then you have grand juries that have a special prosecutor attached to it.
That's right. Well, in California, the grand jury has the right to ask the presiding judge to appoint a special prosecutor. That's a little different than, say, in Georgia, as I understand it, where the district attorney appointed a special prosecutor. And in federal courts, special prosecutors are generally appointed by the U.S. Attorney General.
I would think, looking back on this conversation, Stu, this would be an excellent opportunity for people to have a better understanding of the law, how the law works. And at the same time, find out more about our county.
Absolutely.
You're going to be meeting other people. You're going to be going out investigating, learning stuff that you probably didn't know
You're also going to be deliberating. So the people that are with you on the grand jury, you might find something that has no meaning for you. And you listen to what they interpret from the same facts, and suddenly it really rises to a level where you want to investigate further. Or vice versa, your compatriots on the grand jury may put in perspective something you think is really suspicious, and you may kind of bounce back and say, okay, let's listen more, and maybe that's not the reason to indict.
Remind me how this works. Do they issue a report after each case they hear, or do they issue one annual report?
They issue a number of annual reports towards the end of their term. So, for instance, if they have investigated the prison, they actually have the ability to go to the state prison and investigate that. And if they see something, they may issue a report specifically on that. If they investigate the activities of SLOCOG, they may issue a report only on that. If they decide to investigate a major nonprofit corporation that's delivering services, they may put out a significant report on that. But so they're individual reports having to do with individual agencies, or if they investigate a particular elected official. And they say, you know, the books of this official aren't being kept properly. They should be kept more carefully and be more transparent. And they've decided not to indict. then they can issue a report with recommendations of what improvements should happen.
20 hours a week, $15 a...
$15 a meeting.
A meeting.
Meeting day.
And maybe free parking.
And maybe free parking.
But if you're retired or you are have such a job where you can make that available, it sounds like I really enjoyed my jury experience.
Yeah.
If I never do it again, it's fine. I've had the experience. But I would find this to be interesting.
Everyone I've ever talked to who served on a grand jury has found it to be a meaningful and inspiring experience for them.
So April 12th is the deadline.
April 12th is the deadline.
Is that when the Titanic went down? I think so. That's when the Titanic went down. April 12th?
Be sure and get your application in beforehand.
April 14th, 1912.
Don't email it. Don't mail it. Take it in and hand it in. If you mail it, you can do it now because you've got enough time.
By the way, Stu, as we wrap up with a minute to go, put a plug in for your own legal services.
Well, if you need a trust or will and want to make sure that, particularly if you want to make sure that your kids can inherit with a reasonably stable tax assessment, come see me. As a matter of fact, there was a ballot initiative that was being passed that would repeal Prop 19's portions that affected inheritance. I just got a notice from the Secretary of State that it didn't get enough signatures.
Yeah, thought to close on my neighbor across the street passed away a couple weeks ago. Apparently, he didn't have stuff in place, and so his brother is going to get everything, and I guess they were estranged.
Oh, my.
So plan ahead.
Plan ahead.
Call Stu Jenkins.
Plan ahead, and you heard my pet trust ad.
Yeah.
Nicely
done by Craig. Those elephant noises.
I noticed he added the elephants.
Because he knew you're a good Republican.
As a lifelong Democrat, that's not going to work.
All right. Here we go. News, traffic, weather. Here comes Jack Keller. You've been warned.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.